It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The number 8 Michigan State football Spartans had a great afternoon Saturday. They downed Indiana 56-17 in a game that saw 21 points scored in the fourth quarter alone. Detroit Free Press columnist and Current State sports contributor Joe Rexrode joins us by phone today to recap the MSU Spartan football team's big win, plus other action happening in the NFL and elsewhere. Welcome back, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. We're ranked number 5 now in the coaches' poll, number 8 in the AP. What do you take away from Saturday's win?
Well, it was obviously a good finish for Michigan State, and that was the big emphasis in the 3 previous games against so-called Power 5 teams from the 5 big conferences. That would be Oregon, Purdue, and Nebraska. Michigan State was outscored 44-7 in the fourth quarter, outscores Indiana 21-0 in this game. So it sort of ends that storyline. I mean, the last 2 games had gotten way too close because of a variety of factors, but Michigan State closed it out well, responded well after a jittery second quarter, and dominated a team, playing a freshman who was taking his first snap, who was not even supposed to play this year. He was going to redshirt, but quarterback injuries were a big issue for Indiana and certainly a big part of that game.
So after Saturday, how concerned should we still be, if at all, about MSU's ability to perform well in the fourth quarter?
Well, yeah, I think it's not a big concern right now. I mean, I think in the Oregon game, all those games were different. In the Oregon game, Michigan State was coming back, of course, and had a couple drives. One of them ended with a tipped ball that was intercepted. One of them ended with a 4th-and-1 run that was stopped. Nebraska, all kinds of wacky stuff happened. They had an interception that bounces off Curtis Drummond's hands into a Nebraska receiver's hands for a big gain, and a missed field goal and a punt return. So, it's not like you can point to 1 or 2 things that happened in these earlier games. So I think that's been taken care of. And, I think coming up here, Michigan State's probably going to be in some games that'll actually still be in dispute entering the fourth quarter.
I remember last season's worries over quarterback that we started out the season with, and how quickly – well, not how quickly. It took some number of games, but by the end of the season, our quarterback concerns were pretty much eradicated. Hopefully, it'll be the same here with the ability to finish strong. In the preseason, you thought this might be a trap game for MSU, but did the starting a first timer at quarterback, was that the difference?
Well, I think. Regardless of that, Indiana was going to have trouble stopping Michigan State, and that was clear Saturday. The Hoosiers didn't have many answers defensively. But, yeah, I do think it would have been a much more competitive game had Nate Sudfeld been able to play. Their offense is really difficult when you have an experienced quarterback throwing accurate passes. It is a high-tempo passing offense. And when you pair that with Tevin Coleman, who had 100-plus yards on Michigan State Saturday, had a big run. That's a very dangerous offense. So, yeah, I think it would have been a different game. I still think Michigan State probably wins by, 10, 14 points. But, 11 passing yards for Indiana, I mean, you're just not going to win many games like that.
We're talking with the Detroit Free Press's Joe Rexrode about Michigan State football and other topics. It's Michigan week, Joe. What will be top of mind for both these teams this week and on Saturday?
Yeah, Mark, it's a very different Michigan week. This is, for one thing, we have not seen a top 10 Michigan State take on an unranked Michigan since 1966. That was, of course, a national championship Michigan State team. That was the number 1 Michigan State team beating Michigan 20-7. Mark D'Antonio has won 5 of 6 against Michigan, but he really has never been a huge favorite in this game. This has never looked like a mismatch on paper going into the game, and it does now. I was, frankly, a bit surprised. The opening betting line on this game was Michigan State by 15.5 points, and it quickly went up to 17. So, Las Vegas looks at this game like a potential blowout, and I think a lot of other people do. And it's going to be interesting to see how that affects Michigan State. This has always been a game with so much to gain. I mean, in many years past, it was a season maker And it's a season maker for Michigan now. And for Michigan State, there are bigger things out there. There's Ohio State in a couple weeks, the college football playoff. This is a team that has a chance to get into that playoff and compete for a national championship. So it'll be interesting to see what that does to both teams.
Tim Stout wrote yesterday that the U of M has to be creative. They've got to bring something different, new, hopefully something that will throw the Spartans off their game. Agreed?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And Michigan had the extra week to prepare. And to me, Michigan has tried to go to more of a pro-style power offense under Brady Hoke, and I understand why. But it just hasn't worked out yet. And he's in year four, and his job is in jeopardy. And to me, Devin Gardner got beat up really badly in this game in that kind of attack. If I'm Michigan, I'd take Devin Gardner and say, well, if you're going to hit him anyway, I'd rather have him running at you than you coming to get him in the pocket. And I would spread things out and use his legs, use him as a running threat, and spread the field and run option, and I think that would be Michigan's best bet. I don't think Michigan is going to line up this week and run right at Michigan State.
Joe Rexroth is our guest of the Detroit Free Press. He writes about MSU football and basketball. Any change in the playoff picture for Michigan State after this past weekend?
Yeah, it was overall a good week. Another week with some teams kind of dropping out or at least taking a hit. And of course, the big one was Baylor losing at West Virginia. Baylor now has one loss. Baylor was, I think, a prime contender. But when you look at Baylor's non-league schedule, I think that could really be damaging to Baylor. So Oklahoma loses a second game. So the Big 12 had a really bad weekend. And, if you compared conferences, the Big 12 and the Big 10, I think the Big 10 has a better chance of having a representative than the Big 12 at this point. And that's if the winner of Michigan State and Ohio State goes on to win out, which is a big if, but I think the Big Ten is in pretty good position here, Michigan State or Ohio State, to be there at the end. Other dominoes have to fall, but a lot of these teams are still going to play each other. I think it would have been better for Michigan State for Notre Dame to win at Florida State, but the Irish get a loss, and if the Irish get another loss, that's another team that would probably be out of the way. Notre Dame still has to play at Arizona State and USC, so... overall, it gets clearer and clearer week by week. I still think the bigger question is whether Michigan State can actually be 12-1 at the end and in position. I think if that's the case, I think there's a very strong chance Michigan State would be one of the four teams.
Hmm. Another Big Ten basketball season is approaching. Media Day was just a few days ago. You reported on Coach Tom Izzo's personal relationship with Iowa basketball coach Fran McCafferty. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, of course, Fran McCafferty's son, 13 at the time, back in March, it was revealed, had a tumor on his thyroid, a malignant tumor. And, just a very scary story, obviously. And, this was right at the beginning of the NCAA tournament. So, he actually had his surgery on the day Iowa played and lost in the NCAA tournament, in March, last March. So it was obviously just an incredible emotion and adversity for Fran McCaffrey. And apparently Tom Izzo was the first person to call them when that news broke last year. And so Tom Izzo talked last week in Chicago about what he took out of that situation. I thought he had some really interesting comments about not only about Fran McCaffrey and the strength he showed, but just about how it made Izzo reflect on his own life and the life of the coach and the struggles to spend enough time with the family. Clearly this made a big impact on Tom Izzo.
And I've got to bring up the Lions here. I know the Spartans are your beat, but a huge, huge comeback, 1-point win against the Saints yesterday. We're tied in the NFC North with Green Bay. Are the Lions for real?
Well, the funny thing is I would have said absolutely not before that last second save, but they are 5-2 and the defense is for real. And that's what's so surprising. I looked at this team, I think like a lot of people, and said, if it's going to do anything this year, it'll be because the offense is high powered and it'll be despite the defense. Well, the defense has carried this team. And largely because Calvin Johnson really hasn't done much this year. He was sitting out again the last game. And, you know, he's maybe the most talented offensive player in the NFL. The Lions are still winning without him. That's a good sign. If they can get him back healthy at some point and get the offense going, because Golden Tate has become a very good receiver, then this team really may be the type of team that can not only get in the playoffs, but maybe even win a game, which, of course, hasn't happened since 1991.
Joe Rexroad covers the Michigan State Spartans in football and basketball. Joe, we'll have you back soon. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mark.